Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. In this episode number 583, it is week four of our mentor series. Usually every summer, I republish previous episodes, and this summer, I'm adding a little bit of my own thoughts. I've realized as I'm almost 21 years into this gig that I've learned some things from previous episodes and just living life. In this episode, we're going to cover chapters 5 and 6 of my book, which are about friendship / community. And I know, it is something that we can hear. You need that. You need your village. Go find your village. Get your people. And it's overwhelming. And it brings up a lot of feelings from childhood. We have been trying to make and keep friends our whole journey, and maybe it's gone well for you. Maybe you've had some blips. Maybe you have some woundings. Maybe you've done great, and then you started having kids, and it became hard. Or it was great when your kids were young, and now your kids are teens and college age, and it's hard. I just know that making friends in your adult years brings up a lot for people. I posted some quotes from Jenny Allen's Find Your People book, and y'all went crazy on the internet over that post. So we were already planning on covering this week four, and I think it's even more important now. But I don't think I need to spend a lot of energy convincing you that you need people. Part of my story, part of why I feel so passionate about Don't Mom Alone is when I had my fourth, soon after, I was so overwhelmed, one, with just the tasks of taking care of so many young people, and two, I think chemically, like I had some postpartum depression or anxiety. And then three, I was doing this God-Centered Mom blog. I had lots of people in my life, like as far as friends, and you're like, oh, community. I had a lot of people around me, but I wasn't open and letting them in to admit what was hard or to see where I was struggling. I was trying to keep up an image. And because of that, I ended up having a panic attack and I ended up going to counseling. And I ended up on a journey where I learned some tools to let people in, to foster deeper relationships, to actually talk about what's really going on so that I could have the kind of friends who could support me, who I would let see the underbelly of parenting and my own heart and mind. And so that's my encouragement to you, is not just to have a bunch of people around, because I don't think that's what makes us feel less lonely. People around who know us is what matters. People who we can go to when life is hard. That is a skill that I've been grateful to get to learn and know more about in the last few years. So we're going to talk about that today. My first clip I want to share with you is from a conversation I had in February of 2020 with Melanie Schenkel. And it's kind of funny, if you listen to the whole episode, we talk about how is Jesus going to come back? We didn't know that the world was going to kind of end for a little bit. But we talk about friendship. Re-listening to it reminded me of the unique challenges I've had over the years when kids have been different ages. I think there were unique challenges I had because I had lots of kids, which I share in this clip. There's also just, you've got little years. I used to host the baby play time. What did we call it? Play group at my house. And the babies just kind of laid around and we would feed them and they weren't really playing with each other. It was a time for moms to get together. Well, then those kids got older and those kids started interacting with each other. And it got a lot more challenging for us to have any conversation. And I think I personally felt a little judged or a little, I don't know, I had feelings because my kids maybe were impulsive or a little more physical or whatever, just as boys. And so, and I had a lot of them. So to be in a group setting, it wasn't enjoyable and I couldn't really have good connection and friendship time. And so I pulled away from that. And then it becomes, okay, we need to get together at night. And Melanie talks a little bit about how logistically that works. But then your kids get in activities, or those friends, their kids go to different schools, and so you don't have as much time to hang out with those friends. So you make new friends at your kids' schools, and then your kids have their own friendships. And so I have found in this season of having high schoolers and college kids that I'm now going back to that original friend group from when our kids were little, because we all have more time. Our kids can drive themselves. We aren't driving them everywhere. And there's just such a history of these old friends. But I love what Melanie has to share near the end of the clip, where she says new friends have to start somewhere. And so wherever you are in that stage of parenting, I hope this is an encouragement to you to not allow insecurities or thoughts about people to keep you from taking the risk. And so here we go. This is my conversation with Melanie Shankle.
I do think as a young mom, you get so consumed with your kids that you do tend to put your friendships on the back burner. And then almost even more so, because I always said, like, with my group of girlfriends, we had a group that would all go out and eat Mexican food once a week. And when the kids were little and you could put them in bed by 7, we were so much better about doing that, because that's when they're so physically exhausting that you're like, I don't even care. I need my husband to do bath time, bedtime. I need to get out and go be with my girlfriends. But then as they even get older, what I feel like what nobody tells you is those years when they start school to now is all their activities. And so then it becomes really hard to make that time, because you've got soccer games and baseball games and Girl Scout meetings and all of that. And so even your evenings aren't free. It's such a weird thing to shift from where, like, you have all this free time during the day when they're at school, maybe, but then, like, now I'm like, well, from 4 to 11, I'm never busier now. Like, those are my hours where I have to be on all the time.
That is so true. Well, tell us a little bit about, you know, I know your famous friendship with Gully.
Yes. Everybody knows about Gully.
Everybody knows about and maybe they think, well, Melanie's got it figured out. She's got all these friends. She has the secret sauce. Who wouldn't want to be friends with Melanie Shankle? But what is something that's been hard for you in your journey of friendship?
You know, here's what I think is, to me, I was fortunate enough when I got to college that I made this great group of girlfriends, that we were super close knit. They were like sisters to me and still are. And we were just so intertwined in each other's lives. And I think college is such a unique time, because you really get to do that, because you live together and you do everything together and you're not with your real family. So that's who's taking you to the doctor when you're sick and all that stuff. And that's when I met Gully. And then I was fortunate enough that for most of our adult life, Gully and I have lived in the same town. Like, she moved here when her son was a year old and I hadn't had Caroline yet. And so we raised our babies together. And because I tend to be an introvert, I tend to stick with the friends that I have. Like, it's not really in my natural wheelhouse to go out and make new friends. In fact, I used to always say in college, I would let Gully make our new friends for us. And then, like, whoever she brought in, I would be like, okay, now you're my friend too. Like, that was kind of part of her, because she's such an extrovert.
Yeah.
So I was like, good, that's great. You've made us a new friend. But I think that what happened to me is, because Gully was here and she was my safety net, that was really who I spent all my time with, and we raised our babies together and we did all that. But then as the kids got older, because they do go to different schools and because they're boys and Caroline's a girl, the kids started to have their own separate lives. And it really dawned on me a few years ago that I hadn't done as much as I should have to invest in the women who were raising kids actually in my community and in our schools, that I had really focused all my attention on Gully and my old friends, and not worked as hard to make new friends. And I think once you get in that school thing and your kids are doing all that stuff, you really need those friends that are doing the exact same thing, so that you can talk through, I mean, everything from, like, are you taking AP history this year, to, you know, what do you think about this teacher, or what are y'all doing for the summer? I felt like I had isolated myself a little bit, and I regret that.
This episode is made possible thanks to sponsors like Branch Basics. I love these products, and that's why I'm so thrilled I get to share them with you. They have taken the hard work, the guessing out of finding safe cleaning products, and they're also super simple to use. I'll get into that in a second. I don't know if you've been trying to do the work of figuring out which cleaning products are safe, whether for your skin, for your hormones, for your respiratory system. And it's tricky, because they'll sometimes be branded safe or natural, but the more you look into it, one, they don't disclose all their ingredients. Two, they're not really regulated. And so cleaners can get away with saying things that aren't necessarily true. But with Branch Basics, they fully disclose all the ingredients. They're plant-based, they're mineral-based, and it was created by three women, moms themselves. They wanted something they could trust that works and that is safe for their pets and for their kids, and they could use around their family. And so this surface cleaner is built around this concentrate. It's that plant and mineral-based concentrate. You simply dilute it to different ratios depending on what you're using it for, whether it's your bathroom or your kitchen, counters, windows. They also have dishwasher tablets with a microplastic-free formula, fragrance-free laundry detergent. No more guessing what's hiding in your cleaners. No more buying dozens of different products. That's what I love, because I get that one concentrate and I have all the different spray bottles and containers that I just follow on the side how much to dilute. And it's so simple. Once you get used to the peace of mind it provides, you're not going to settle for anything less. Here's the really, really good news. Branch Basics is now available everywhere you shop at Target, Target.com, Amazon, and of course, BranchBasics.com. Tossing the toxins has never been more convenient. For anyone grabbing the premium starter kit, you can still get 15% off at BranchBasics.com with the code DMA. The premium starter kit comes with the concentrate, the refillable bottles for your surface cleaners, including all-purpose, bathroom streak-free, foaming hand wash, and laundry. It also comes with oxygen boost for extra stubborn stains on pots and pans, laundry, bathroom tiles, and more. This kit is a great way to kickstart your human-safe cleaning routine. Just use code DMA for 15% off the premium starter kit at BranchBasics.com. After you purchase, when they ask where you heard about them, please make sure to mention our show. And why, I mean, I hear you saying, you know, you leaned on Gully and you have the introversion mm-hmm. that I know a lot of women can relate to when it comes to friendship, just feeling, especially with kids and pouring out constantly. It's like that energy is so limited to then choose to be with more people. Was there anything you were believing, like anything you were believing about yourself in that? Or do you think it was simply just you went to what was easiest?
I think I went to what was easiest, but I also think that I felt intimidated. And I think a piece of that for me was because I have an only child, and a lot of the other moms all seem to have multiple kids. So they knew each other so much better because they were together on all these different, you know, age levels and grades. And so I just felt a little bit set apart. And so I think some of it was my own insecurities of getting out there and making new friends. And I always say that I think I tend to get in my own head. And so it's funny because I speak and I write and all this stuff, but sometimes when I'm in a conversation, I'm like, I think I'm socially awkward, you know? So I think.
So relatable. We're all like, yes.
Yes. And here's my struggle is I'm not a good small talker. So like I immediately, and I think that's why I gravitate towards my old friends, because I want to go deep. Like, let's just be real right off the bat. And I don't know how to do the like just surface whatever. And so what I realized is a lot of times I'll meet somebody and within 2 minutes I'll be like, so let me tell you about when my parents got divorced, you know, and they're still like on, so do you pack your kid a sandwich every day for school? Or, you know, so it creates.
I mean, all the relating. I want to go back to this idea and belief that I think so many of us hold as we see a group of moms and we think they're all so much more connected. And I know in my mind, I think, well, they all go to church together, or they all went to college together, and now their kids, they live here and their kids are in school together. And so it's like they're not really, I'm waiting for them to turn towards me and include me in, and believing the lie that they're full enough, they don't really need or want. And honestly, I was curious about you having an only child and how that impacted friendships, because sometimes having too many kids, I felt like impacted my friendships. I wasn't available to do the things with the moms in my older son's grades, because I was still doing the baby toddler nap time. But I think that I see some of my friends who have an only child who are grieving, like everyone's so busy and I'm not so busy. Like,
yeah.
I still have some bandwidth, but there's no one around because they're all taking people to different activities.
Yes. I think it's a hard, especially when they're little, because it's like once Caroline got to a certain age, you're like, well, this person still has a baby, or they, and then they just, you know, your social circle, I feel like, expands too. If you have a third grader and a kindergartner and a 3 year old, I mean, that's three groups of mom friends conceivably you could have. Where for me, it was like, it felt like it was like, well, here are the moms that I know that have a child my same age as my child. And I think that it was my own insecurities and feeling like, well, they're already this fully formed group, and I'm not one to be like, look at me, here I am. You know, like, I think I tend to go, oh, you've already got your friends, I see there. And same as what you said, it's like, I'm waiting to be invited in. And I think sometimes you have to make the effort to find that group. But I also think it goes back to, I don't find women to be any less intimidating in my 40s than I found them to be when I was 16 years old. I think there's also a thing as women that we tend to get in a circle and be inward focused, and we aren't good about looking out to see who might need a friend or who may want to be included or whatever. And so I think there's that component of it too.
And we still have the elements of some gals still doing the middle school things, like being intentionally unkind, or because of their own insecurities, desiring that close-knit group because it makes them feel a place of belonging.
That's right. Yeah. And I think that there's a thing too, where it's like, you know, for me, because I did have, you know, because Gully and my friend Jamie and my friend Jen, who you knew, and, you know, we had been together for so long that we had seen each other through so much with those old friends. Like when you're college friends, you really can't even pretend like you've got it all together, because they've seen you at like the lowest points of your life. Like they are well aware that you don't. So they know it for better or for worse. And so I think my other thing for me was, is if I got in a circle that immediately started to feel like there was any kind of competition over whose kids were the best or the most accomplished, or, you know, whose 3 year old could already, like, you know, write full sentences with proper punctuation.
Read War and Peace or something.
Yes. Yeah. Then my response is always like, check, please, I'm out. Like, I'm not interested in doing that at all. And I don't know how to play that game, and I'm not good at that game. And, you know, and maybe part of it was, is that I had a kid who couldn't really read full sentences till she was in first grade. So it's like, I can't do this with you right now.
Yeah. I think the key is we all hold something in our mind that we're thinking about the other person.
Yes.
Before we engage in that relationship. And what do you think it would be helpful to think instead about that person?
I think you would be better off going with the assumption that everybody would like to make a new friend, you know, just that everybody's open to friendship and to a relationship and to getting to know a new person. And that sometimes if somebody is closed off, I think that says so much more about who they are than who you are. To them. And I think it's just continuing to approach them and to make the effort and to dial in, because I will say that one of the things that I've learned, and I talk about this a little bit in the new book with this group of friends that I have called Birthday Club. And we had started getting together when the kids were little, and we were a random group. I mean, it started for Gully's birthday, and she had this random group of girls that she wanted to get together. And most of us didn't know each other. All we had in common was her. But then we continued to meet, and we still get together, like, you know, a couple of times a year, and, you know, hang out, and our kids are kind of all teenagers now, and we've lived all this life together. And what dawned on me is that new friends eventually become old friends, but you have to start somewhere. You know, it's like, I think we all want those old, worn-in, comfortable friendships, but it's like, at some point, you have to make that effort to make a new friend if you ever want to have an old friend.
What do you think would be helpful, whether you could go back, or what are you going to implement now that you're entering a new stage?
I wish that from an earlier age, starting, you know, when Caroline got into kindergarten, even, I wish that I had done more to become better friends with some of those moms, to kind of find my people out of that group of moms.
What would that look like? What would a mom do if she's in that stage? She's got a kindergartner.
Yeah. I mean, I think you get involved. I mean, I feel like I was so not the PTO mom. I didn't want to do those things. And so I didn't do those things. And I think that and part of that was, is at the time, you know, you look back and it's hard to say, because at the time I was really trying to start my writing career and I was transitioning. And so I was so focused on that stuff. too, but I do look and think, I wish I would have done more of the volunteer things. I wish that I would have gotten involved more in some of the school stuff. And I always was a homeroom mom, but I feel like that's different because as a homeroom mom, it's like you're just there with the kids doing stuff a lot of times. And I didn't dial into the other moms. And I think I made the assumption at that early age where it's like, well, they've all been friends forever. And now I look back and go, well, that wasn't true. That wasn't true. I let myself kind of be intimidated out of that. Or I felt like we didn't have a lot in common. And here's the thing, we may have not had a lot in common, but we still had our kids in common. And so could we have built relationships based on that? To me, I've been a lot more intentional about that. I feel like when we made that shift from junior school to high school, it really began to dawn on me, you know, like you're going through that transition right now, just how much you need moms and people that are doing the same thing. Cause I feel like high school, the stakes get so much higher and you're trying to figure so much more out. To me, I've tried to be more intentional the last couple of years, and I feel like it's paid off and that I do have some women now that I can talk to or text or reach out to when I have questions or whatever. So, but you know, the irony is if you start that earlier, I would have had those women all this time. And now that I look like Caroline's going to be out of school in a year and a half, then what does that look like? Because then that becomes a whole new stage of life.
Yeah. This show is brought to you thanks to Hiya Health. If you are in the market for a great vitamin for your kids, one that you know has been researched, that pediatricians and nutrition scientists have created, that is not going to be full of sugar, I've got one for you. It's by Hiya. Here's what's so great. It is the opposite of the traditional approach. There's zero sugar, zero gummy additives, zero petroleum-based dyes, just clean nutrition. And the crazy thing is kids actually love them. The taste, the experience, all of it. It has been formulated to fill in those nutritional gaps. I know for my kids, maybe when they were really, really little, I could convince them to eat a fruit or a vegetable, but slowly it became more hard, more difficult. And then definitely in these teen years, I'm finding it impossible to dictate what they eat. But I know they need the nutrition. And so with the Hiya multivitamin, it's a chewable multivitamin. It is packed with 12 organic fruits and vegetables and 15 essential vitamins and minerals in every chewable. So you get vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, all the foundational nutrients to support immune health, brain function, mood regulation, concentration, and strong teeth and bones. And it's non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free. They've thought of everything. So if you have kids two and up, Hiya will ship straight to your door these awesome reusable bottles. They're glass and they have stickers that come with your first order. And then they will send you refills every month, which keeps that parental mental load even lighter. Also, Hiya just launched something brand new. If your kids are active and growing, adding in a clean protein powder with minerals designed just for kids might be exactly what they need. So Hiya's new Kids Daily Growth and Protein is a total game changer. It's more than a protein shake. It's a purity-awarded clean protein powder with added minerals and healthy fats that mixes right into water, smoothies, and more to support muscle development and cognition to fuel everything they've got going on. We worked out a special deal with Hiya. Receive 50% off your first order on any of their products. To claim this deal, you must go directly to hiyahealth.com/DMA. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/DMA and get your kids the full body support they deserve. This podcast is supported by Honeylove. Okay, moms, we've talked about our homes. We've talked about our kids' nutrition. Let's talk about you. When was the last time you updated what's in that one drawer in your dresser? You know the drawer. You need a new bra, okay? I'm just going to say it. And I'm giving you permission to get a new bra. And I've even had people reach out. They're like, what was that company again that you said made such comfortable, supportive products? It's Honeylove. Here's the deal. And they keep updating, okay? So they have a new crossover contour bra. It is their best-selling wireless design with molded foam cups. It creates this smooth, natural shape. And it's really helpful if you maybe are older, mature, and you want a little extra support and structure. They also have a Cloud Embrace bra, which is soft and breathable and so comfortable, you may forget that you're wearing it and wear it all day. It's not just, though, that comfort is a luxury. It's a requirement. And support doesn't mean you need to sacrifice how you feel in your own skin. Here's the good news. With Honey Love, it doesn't just stop at their bras. They have amazing shapewear. If you are in the market, please check them out because they have figured out and designed how to offer support where you need it and offer some relaxation where you don't. And so, I don't know. They even have easy bathroom access. You can figure that out on your own. But at the end of the day, this isn't just changing your body. This is just supporting you in a way that feels good. And Honey Love does just that. So treat yourself to the most advanced bras and shapewear on the market. Use our exclusive link to save 20% off Honey Love at honeylove.com/DMA. That's honeylove.com/DMA. After you check them out, they're going to ask where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the new standard in comfort and support with Honey Love. I appreciate how practical Melanie was in that episode and just explaining exactly the insecurity she had and the belief she held about people. And I would love if you took a second, like, to consider friendship for you and what is hard right now. Is it finding people? Is it finding people in your community that you connect with? Is it you have the people, but you're struggling to go deeper? Really label it. And if it's literally you cannot find people, my first advice is always to pray and have God open your eyes to see the people that are around you. Second is to consider, how vulnerable are you with those you know? I know vulnerability, authenticity is tricky. And I always caution people, this shouldn't be like I'm vulnerable with everybody about everything, because not everyone is worthy of that. It's good to try and throw out some vulnerability nuggets and see how they respond. I also tell people that Jesus never asked us to do anything he wasn't willing to do first. And he came on this earth in the most vulnerable state, a baby's body. He also went on a cross. He knows what it is to be willing to be wounded. And I think that's because he knows he also holds the power to heal. And so, yes, we don't want to throw our most sensitive and sweet nuggets of goodness to pigs. But at the same time, if we've known people for a while and we've thrown out a little vulnerability nugget, something about our past, like Melanie shared how she goes to the deep end and is talking about her parents' divorce or something, and it's handled well and they respond in like, they also say, oh man, that's hard. I've had something like that happen. I think that it's good to keep moving forward with that relationship. I also talk about how we can be a safe place. And I know I've mentioned this challenge before, but for a season, I had my own say it to her face challenge where I would, if I was with a friend, I would make sure the conversation was either about what's going on in my life or what's going on in her life, instead of talking about someone who's not there, so that one, the time that we have together can go deep with what's going on in our life. I find anytime I get this kind of yucky feeling after being with a friend, it's usually when I've talked about someone else who wasn't there. And so even if they bring up someone who isn't there, to kind of redirect the conversation back to what's going on with them, even if they're bringing up their husband or their kids, for you to come back around to, how does that make you feel? What do you need from me? So I told you after I had my panic attack and kind of realized that people were around me, but I wasn't tapping into that community. And I went to counseling and then also did some 12-step with our small group. And then we do process groups. And I have my life team, I mentioned. When we're together, one, we have established guidelines for conversation where when someone's sharing or it's their turn, nobody else interrupts them. Second, we kind of start off with what are we feeling and kind of get into what's going on. So let's say a kid gets a phone call from a teacher, or you get a phone call from a teacher about a kid, and you just want to keep going on and on and on about that kid. your friend could say, well, how does that make you feel? And maybe you realize, oh my gosh, I'm feeling a lot of fear. I'm really worried about the trajectory for this kid or something related to their friendships or whatever it is. So you acknowledge your fear. And then the next thing we do after someone shares their feeling and then what's going on is we say, what do you need from us? And it's a way for the person who's just shared to ask for what they need instead of the person listening assuming what is needed is advice. And so I will put in the show notes a chart I've shared many times before about needs that you can give one another, different things like maybe it's just containment. You needed a place to say that out loud. Maybe it's identification. You need that person to say they understand what you're going through and they've had something similar. Maybe you do need advice. Maybe you do need prayer. Maybe you do need perspective. Whatever it is, I think that is an important skill that when if you want friendships to go deeper, that you access those kind of, I don't know, guidelines. Also, I just think it takes time. Like Melanie said, if you want to have those comfortable old friendships, you have to start somewhere. With my second son, when he started at his high school, there were some really intentional moms who went out of their way to make sure we went to dinner. And I loved one of the first dinners they had. Actually, I couldn't go, but I heard about it later. This mom had printed out pictures of all of the boys. And we've all heard their names, but we didn't necessarily know their face. And so they played this game where you had to match the face to the name. And it's funny now because I know these boys so well. And I mean, just have the most tender feelings towards these kids. And it's been 4 years. It hasn't been that long, but I'm just so thankful for these women who've made time to create rhythms, whether it's a Target party around Christmas where we each bring a gift from Target, whether it's a book club where we just get together and talk about a book, whatever it is that it takes putting yourself out there, that risk, the risk of vulnerability too, and they might say no. And I just want to encourage you to really narrow in what's going on in your friendships right now that's holding you back, where you're feeling a little challenge, and what could you do about it? So this next clip is from a conversation I had with Jada Edwards. I shared the beginning of it last week, where she's talking about being qualified in Christ and how we can sometimes have that negative self-talk based on our past and how he can't use us. And I wanted her to apply it in motherhood. And she's talking about how God wired her as a mom and how she compared herself to her own mom. And what the reason I want to share it in this episode is I love what she says about how other moms being in her kids' lives rounds out her motherhood. I think it's such an important thing that I've learned over the years when I started tapping into my community is how my kids benefit from my friendships, how my friends who can speak into their lives gives my kids a sense of security and maybe something that I'm not able to give them. So here's that clip. I love it. And then I'll be back to pray for us. Because I don't know about you, but I meet a lot of moms who don't feel like they're qualified to be doing this role of motherhood, and they're believing a lot of lies. And from what you just shared about how you weren't the back tickler and the soft-spoken, what lies did you believe about yourself when it came to motherhood and raising these two little people?
Well, so my mom is a fantastic mom. She is the giver. She's the band-aid putter on her. She's a nurse, first of all, by vocation. So she's just all about the nurturing. And she's just like, what do you need me to do? Do you need me to walk to New York barefoot to get you? Yes, I'm coming. She's just so giving. I mean, she had to be at work at like 3 or 4 in the morning. Wow. And while we were asleep, she would come in and brush our hair and lay our lunch money out. I mean, what in the world?
Okay. So this is the standard you're trying to live up to right there.
What in the world? And she's so patient. She's so patient. I can count the times on her hand that on my hand that she yelled at us. And we were worthy of being yelled at all the time because we were nutty. So I always appreciated that. Well, I'm going to say always, probably in my 20s. You don't really appreciate your mother till you're older. And I appreciated it really as a young woman. And I started realizing, man, my mom is faithful and reliable. But then when I had kids, the appreciation went to like this intimidating, oh Lord, I'm not like her. Mm-hmm. I am not like her. I mean, she used to thank my dad for dinner every night. James, dinner is so great. It's so good. And we were like, I mean, it's okay. It's good. But we have to have this conversation. Oh, she was just so encouraging and mm-hmm. grateful and all that. And so I think I went in with more, I'm more like my father. I'm a bit of a disciplinarian and straight talk. And all right, we just, you're okay. Are you bleeding? Is it broken? Shake it off. Let's go. Let's keep moving. And so I struggled with how my kids would feel nurtured, really, mm-hmm. and how I would be able to really communicate love and affection, because I'm not a super back rubbing, touchy feely. But I think a couple things happened. One, the Lord showed me through my kids how my kids need who I am, first of all.
Yeah.
So he's like, hey, I've given you kids. My son is like my mother, my adopted son. He's just like my mother. Now he's my temperament as far as outgoing and life of the party, but he is empathetic and encouraging and compassionate, and he can't get too many hugs. Huggy, like good night, 12 good night kisses, 12 stories, 12 hugs. So he is my mom. And so I get to bring balance to him with, okay, let's get some things done. Okay, let's be disciplined. Let's be focused. And on top of that, I've been surprised at myself, how even moments where I didn't think I had it in me to just slow down and be compassionate and love him and nurture him, the Lord has just been gracious in that. He has been so gracious in that. And I think day by day, I find my footing a little bit, saying, okay, these are the kids God has given me to shape. And I know there's going to be deficits. And I know there's going to be gaps, but I'm going to trust the Lord for the gaps. And I'm going to do what I can with who I am. I'm not going to try to be anybody else. I'm going to be a failure at trying to be like my mother. It's going to mm-hmm. go badly. So mm-hmm. I can be the best mom that I can be. And then where I'm lacking, I can be honest about that. Because sometimes my son will say, Mom, that hurt my feelings. And I go, you know what, bud? I can understand how that did. Come give me a hug, you know? Mm-hmm. And I have to just be honest with that and understand that, hey, mama doesn't do well with these kind of things. But on these other things, I got you, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just I think it's just finding my footing and understanding that God, number one, I need to be who God's made me to be. I'm going to be a bad imitation of somebody else's version of motherhood. And number two, that God gave me kids that need me as a mom. And so that I found just a lot of assurance in that, and just like, you know, I got to just do what I can. And when I become aware of shortcomings, I mean, I try to get better and pray about it, but I'm really more concerned about, am I communicating honestly, you know, with my kids about where I fall short, and still trying to teach them and put them around other people. You know, I got friends and aunts and uncles who do those things well, because it's really a village anyway. So I don't want my kid to only be raised by me and my husband. So there's things that we don't do well. And so we've got aunts and uncles and friends and grandparents and all these people that I know God is going to use to create my child, my kids, the way they need to, you know, and train them in the way they need to be trained up. So
it's good. There are several moms listening who can identify. I mean, a lot of moms that can identify with how you're describing yourself and that gifting. Really, it is a gifting. I was raised by a mom who was more like you are, wired more like you are. And so there's a gift in a strong woman who's leading the home and who's fiercely loyal and protective. And I'm sure those kids have no doubt that you have their back.
Yeah. So I was like, there'll be other times where I'm like, hey, somebody's messing with my kid.
Yes. Like that goes along with that personality. Like you are fiercely loyal.
Please,
yes.
Don't come to the school. Do not come up.
Do not come to the school. That is exactly right.
I'll be like, who was it? Who said it?
Yep. That fits. That all fits together. Yes. 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 But you're also modeling for them a walking in your gifting. I think that kind of bent also models for kids that God has gifted you in teaching and in ministering and in communicating his word, and that you are following that, and that they aren't the center of your universe. I think there's a special future for your kids in the fact that you're laying that foundation as an option for them. So that's, we just have to trust that God knows all the things, right? Like
you have to, and you know, even my mom tells me, I've had a couple of my good friends their moms be pretty significant in my life. And my mom has told me over the years, and one of my dear friends, her mother was kind of a no-nonsense, spoken to my life, Jada, get your life together. Hush your mouth. You talk too much. You being whatever you been. And my mom told me over the years, I was grateful for this person's mother because she's different than me. And I know she has been able to challenge you on some things that I couldn't. So even my mother, who I think is amazing, she's the gold standard. Even she knows that, hey, that's just who I am. There's this whole other side because of how you're wired that I couldn't really speak to. And you needed a person that was a little stronger will. And so even in my growing up, I see how God kind of augments our parenting. You know, he brings us these great communities and village. And so I do the same thing because I, you know, my son has, my godson's mother is, oh my gosh, she's just sweet, sweet, sweet. And so they, when they spend time together, he gets all the rubs and all the, you know, she just lets them do, oh, you know, and I made strawberries in the shape of their initials. And you're just like, I'm so glad you did that because he's never experienced that. So I'm just like, so listen, take your village, your friends, your village, and family, because they will, you know, they just bring a roundedness to our kids' experience. And the truth is, our kids do not expect us to be everything, all things, only if we teach them to expect that from us. If we teach them that it's okay to go to friend and auntie and so-and-so for things like that, then they'll know that mom is still mom, but hey, auntie Tammy and auntie Becky are the people that I kind of cry on their shoulder sometimes. And it's just okay. It's just okay.
That's good. I have found for my boys, they need my friend who's super positive and encouraging and words of affirmation where I'm like, oh, I'm doing it all wrong and I'm a terrible mom and negative, negative, negative. So I need those people in my life. I'm always encouraging people who listen to find those people in their life. And I love your examples because I know there are also moms out there raising the strong girl and they don't know what to do. And they need to find their strong mom friends who can speak life.
Yes. Into them.
Yeah.
They do. And sometimes the older women too.
Yes.
They're the aunties and things like that. They don't have to be your age.
Mm-hmm.
I received well, even as a young girl, from women who were kind of between the age of my mom and grandmother. They're somewhere more 30-ish, 40 years older than me than the 20-ish, you know, than my mom. Yes. Because they were like, by the time you get into your 60s, you're like, girl, whatever. I'm not fetching you. So those women, I just received well from. And even to this day, a lot of women that can just speak directly into me are older than my mom even. You know, they're just like, girl, look. So yeah, it doesn't even have to be somebody that's your age. It could be anybody that you think could have a good influence on your kid in some area that maybe you're not strong in.
In an area that actually you are legitimately disqualified in, like we were talking about, like just be honest, right. Like you are not qualified in that. So that's okay.
Strawberries in the shape of their-
you're not going to be doing that. Okay. I think it's fantastic. I do think it takes you asking for help to have those kind of anti-relationships. I also love how she talked about the mentor who was between the age of her mom and her grandma. Ask God to show you who those ladies are in your community. And if you aren't in a church, this is step one. Get involved in a church. Get involved in a MOPS. Get involved in some sort of program that your church offers, whether it's a women's Bible study. In order to make these kinds of friendships, you do have to put yourself out there. But I think more than anything, asking for help is a great place to start. And I know there are moms who say, I ask for help, I'm vulnerable, and no one's responding well. And so I've shared this before. That's where we have to evaluate. Am I setting too high of a bar for people that they can never reach? And am I asking for God to fill that first? And then our challenge for this week is one to evaluate what's going on, like do like a friendship evaluation right now. How are we doing? Really ask yourself, ask in prayer for the Holy Spirit to bring to mind, why is this hard right now? Is it a logistical thing based on the ages of my kids? Is this a personal thing where I've been hurt and I'm not willing to go in again? Is this something that I need to go to counseling and really figure out what's going on in my relationships with people? Because a pattern keeps coming up, because that's really good to evaluate. Is it me just going the safe route and not putting myself out there? Kind of like how Melanie said, she wishes she had made an intention to get to know those moms when her daughter was younger. What is that for you? And so that's your challenge, is to do a friendship evaluation and think of one thing, whether it's sending a text to someone you already know asking for help or getting together, whether it's next time you're having coffee or hanging out with somebody while your kids are playing at the park, you go a little bit deeper in your conversation. These are my challenges. Let me pray for us. Lord, I thank you for the women who are listening. I pray that they would be encouraged and not discouraged, that they would see that, yes, while relationships with people is challenging, that it is worth it, and that not only do we benefit, but our kids benefit as well. I pray, Lord, that you would bring to mind people that they can reach out to if they're really struggling to figure that piece out, that they'd see who's available, that they would see who is willing to go deeper and be vulnerable. I pray, Lord, that you would bring healing to those who've been hurt in the past and the wounds that are present. I pray that they would find that in you, God. I thank you and praise you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thanks y'all for joining me. Have a good one. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.